Okay, all right. Bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray. As soon as I can get this off my... Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that no matter what's happening in our lives, Lord, you're always really good. And so we pray for the goodness of God to show up through your word. We pray that your purpose would be expressed through the word of God today, that every ear be open to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to go jump right into the scriptures. First scripture on the screen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, all the believers, say with me, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals and to prayer, and a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Acts 4, verse 2, verse 42. Say with me, all the believers. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they have. Verse 32. Say with me, all the believers. All the believers were united in mind and heart. Today is the final message of our series, Real Together. And it's entitled, Run as One. God did not make you to run a solo race. God never intended for you to run the race alone, which is why he put you in the right place to race, to finish out this journey of life in a place called a local church. Amen? And the reality is that you have way more running with you than you can ever imagine. And today I want to encourage you that it's not just the me, it's the we running the race marked out for us, and we are to do it together. Amen? You are not alone in running this race. In fact, the Bible says, point number one, you have a crowd, actually a huge crowd of people cheering you on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, again, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Think about this. Every Bible hero who's gone before you, us, is cheering you on today. Amen? Think about it. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, who else? David, Solomon. Think about all these people. Ruth, Rahab, so many people. Joseph, Daniel, Rahab, Peter, James, John, Mary, Martha, Paul, Timothy, and on and on. All these heroes of Hebrews chapter 11 are all examples of faith. All of them who have run the race, and they're cheering you on, and they're cheering us on, saying, come on, come on, people of God, run. Let's run, people of God. Let's run, City Light. Dave, run. Karen, run. Brent, run. Come on, run the race. Keep living, keep loving, keep serving, keep running. From eternity, those who went before us are cheering us on because they've already reached the finish line. And they're telling it, you got to run, because what's awaiting here for you is out of this world. You've got to keep running. You've got to cross the finish line. Amen? Number two, run with the people that God put beside you. No one can run this race marked out for us alone. Mark chapter 6, verse 6 says, then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. Why did he do that? Why? You know why? Because he knew it wasn't going to be easy. And he knew that sometimes they would face such adversity And sometimes they would literally have to shake the dust off their feet. And because it is not easy to do this life alone. Amen? Today, we live in the most connected generation in human history. Yet, loneliness has reached epidemic proportions. We can have hundreds of people on our Facebook platforms, and yet we struggle to find just one person that we can connect with and call us when we're going through a crisis. We can video chat with people literally across the globe, but we feel disconnected from our nearest neighbors. We're surrounded by people, yet we feel profoundly alone. Recent statistics are staggering. They show that over 60% of adults today report feeling lonely regularly. They say young adults, despite being the most digitally connected generation ever, report the highest levels of loneliness. Suicide rates have increased dramatically. Mental health struggles are an all-time high. And social isolation, they say, has become so severe that some countries have actually appointed ministers of loneliness to address the crisis in their nation. It is that bad. It is unbelievable. The question is, how did we get there? How did we get there? How did a generation with unprecedented access to tools of communication become so isolated? But the most important question is, what's the solution? What's the solution? I'll tell you, the answer, the solution, is not found in the latest social media platform, in the latest network app. The answer is found in the ancient wisdom that's as relevant today as it was 3,000 years ago. Amen? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, in a brief but powerful message, reveals God's design for human community. You know what it is? It's found in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 2. And this is what he sees. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three, even three, three is even better than two. A cord of three stands is not quickly broken. So Solomon begins with a fundamental declaration. Again, in verse 9, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their labor. This isn't just practical talk about team. This is a theological statement of how God designed us to live. Listen, we were created for connection. We are built for relationships. We are wired for community. Amen? And yet our culture promotes this lie. Independence equals strength. If you need others, it's weakness. Self-reliance is the highest virtue. We celebrate the self-made person, the lone wolf, the person who does it on his own. But what does Solomon see? Solomon sees this approach delivers poor returns on life's labor. Amen? Think about the areas that you're struggling with right now. Think about them. Chances are those are the very areas that you're trying to make it on your own. Whether it's parenting, whether it's career challenges, maybe a health issue, financial stress, or just spiritual growth. Solomon says that isolation makes everything harder and less effective. That phrase, good return for the labor, that's business language. And here Solomon says on your screen that life partnerships produce better results than solo efforts. Amen? When we support each other, when we work together, we support each other, we share resources, everybody benefits. The whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. And that flies right in the face of our culture, which tells us you got to be strong, you got to be independent. But God's design is different. He created us. He created us to need each other, to depend upon each other, and to find strength in community, not in isolation. Amen? You know, I thank people. I thank God for people that God sent into our lives. I thank people like, I think about Rick and Donna. I mean, how long have you been with, I mean, known you, and how long have you been partners and friends, and over 30 years, right? That's amazing. That's a tribute to you guys. Amen? I think about Brent and Amy. You guys have been almost like 20 years, right? Even more than that, 25. It's amazing. Many people God has put into their lives. I'm so thankful for them. In Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3, it says that one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So the apostles are fasting and praying, and Holy Spirit says, "Anoint Saul and Barnabas for this special work." So they laid hands on and they sent them up. They did not go alone. They went together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We are to be co-workers. We are co-builders. Amen? We are workers, and to be we need to be working in God's field. Not be alone. Alone, you can only do so much. You can only do so far. Alone, you will falter. You will flag. And you will fail to finish." Listen, the greatest dilemma, I think, in the body of Christ and among Christians today, the greatest danger today is in not finishing the race marked out for us. Most Christians will not finish the race that was marked out for them. You know, years ago, God spoke to me and told me this, that a Lone Ranger, you know who Lone Ranger is? Yeah. I was going to put a picture of Lone Ranger, you know, with that nice white hat and that black mask riding that horse, you know. A Lone Ranger is a stranger in danger. Nobody knows really who he is. He's a stranger in danger. God never intended us to run the race alone. As individualists, God gave us each other to be friends of faith. As pastors, God gave us Pastors Mal and Heather, the home church. Pastor Mal, he's my greatest thing. He's a great encourager. He pushes me to keep on going forward and keep running in the race. And as a church, God gave us home church to do life with. You know, and so together, we go further, we go there faster, we go farther than we could ever go on our own. It's so important that you're running with the right people. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. Why? Because we were made not just to walk with each other, but also to work with each other. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. But, you know, there's another verse, that same verse in the Amplified Version says a little bit different. In the Amplified Version, it says this, do not make mismatched alliances with them. With people who are inconsistent with your faith. So I say, make sure that the people that you hang with most are people who love Jesus as much or more than you do. Amen? Because if they don't, they will hold you back, they will cause you to slow down, and they'll get to the point where they'll even pull you away from Jesus. And I see that a lot in relationships, boy-girl relationships. Well, he's not a believer like I am, but no, there's no buts. Make sure that person, yourself, that you're walking with is someone who loves Jesus as much or more than you do. Amen? Number three, I'm going to fast forward it. Number three, we run as one. Romans chapter 12, verses 4, 4 and verses 4, first starting at verse 4. For just as in one physical body, we have many parts, and these parts do not have, not all have the same function or special use. So we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of one another. And listen to those, look at those last words. We are to be mutually dependent on each other. That's the way God made us to be. He formed us to be one body, many parts. But all these parts are necessary to run. We need our feet, we need our arms, we need our legs, we need our torsos, we need our eyes, ears, we need our livers, we need our hearts, we need our lungs in order to run. All of us play a part. You see that? And it says there in 1 Corinthians 12:22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Sometimes the parts that are not seen are often the most important parts. People look at the life of Paul, and often people say, well, I think Paul was more of a loner, but Paul was not a loner. Paul actually had many, many, many co-laborers in Christ, and he lists them in the letters on the screen. In Romans chapter 16, he says, greet these people who are my friends, my co-laborers, and starts listing these names. Greet Aquila, Priscilla, Epaphroditus, Mary, Andronicus, Junius, Ampliatus, Urbanus, Statius, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena, Tryphosa. I like those names. Persis. Here's some examples of names to give your kids. Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Phlegon. There's a good name. Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, Olympus, Julia, Nereus. Another letters he mentions. Barnabas, Timothy, Lois, Eunice, Silas, Mark, Demas, Achaeus, Cephas, Clement, Gaius, Lydia, Onesimus, Eubulus, Erastus, Trophimus, Prudence, Linus, Claudia, Apphia, Nympha, Archippus, Aristarchus, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Peter, Philemon, Titus, Paulus, James, John, and many, many more. Wow. All fellow workers, all co-laborers, and you know what? All friends of faith. He literally surrounded himself. No wonder he did such incredible work. He had all these people with their gifts, their talents, their prayers, their abilities, helping him achieve the greatest profession, ministry on earth, is to preach the gospel to all these nations. No one did it like Paul did, besides Jesus. Every person is important. We are all co-laborers, all important in running. You, your gift is so needed. It is not insignificant. You are not unimportant. You are absolutely vital and crucial. What happened to the worship team this morning? I never knew these gifts existed. Did you? It's amazing. But they're all glorifying to God. We need those gifts. Lethbridge needs these gifts of God in operation. Amen? You need to run. You need to hear the call. You need the same call. It's that, you know what, Holy Spirit? It's time to run together. It's time to reach our region. It's time to reach Lethbridge for Jesus Christ. We can overcome every single challenge if we're running together. Amen? Every single challenge. When we're one in heart, in mind, and in spirit, we can do anything through Jesus Christ. Together, we grow, we love, we support, we pray, we protect, we encourage, we strengthen each other, we grow, we progress, we move forward into God's plan for our lives as a church and individuals. Amen? That's the way God meant it to be. Listen, this whole message is geared to get you to face the struggles in your life, to overcome all the struggles that keep you from running the race marked up for you, to move you forward into the very plan and purposes and your significance as a person, as a human being here on earth, owned and loved by God. Amen? Amen. One more. Run for what matters most. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race that all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? That's not like it is in the Olympics today. The forerunner to the Olympics were the Greek games called the Isthmian Games. There was no silver, no bronze, only one person run the race or could win the prize. And Paul says, run in such a way to get the prize. Run it like you want it so that nobody else would get it. But go after the prize, he's saying. And he says that everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Like I'm just like, what am I doing in life? No, I've got a purpose. I'm running. He says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. It's like this is not just practice fighting. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I want the prize. Amen? And Paul says, run for what matters the most, the eternal prize, the crown of life. Amen? So many people are running for the wrong things. The ladder climb, to be famous, to be star athlete. You know, things. In the end, they lose everything because they're just earthly crowns. Some people are after everything that this world can give them. Money, sex, fame, comfort. You know what Paul says? Those things are, they're garbage. They're garbage. You're running after garbage compared to what I've got for you. Amen? Don't go after the garbage. All this stuff is dust. That new car, that sofa, that new house. Amen? All those things are going to be worth nothing in time. And God says, I've got something so much more fulfilling for you. Something that will not fall apart like earthly crowns. Run for eternal things. Run for the crown, the eternal prize that's waiting for you. Amen? Listen, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. They jam this wicked crown of thorns with spikes, and they jammed it on his head, and he bled. And it was a crown. It was a crown of pain. It was a mockery of his authority. And he took it all. He endured the horrific pain and torture, suffering, shame and abuse, just so that you and I could get our crown. What is it anyway? You know what it is? On your screen, it's the crown of life. For those people who endure suffering, setbacks, temptations, and remain faithful to Jesus, it's more than that. It's also an incorruptible crown. It can't be taken. It can't be destroyed. It's waiting for you. In heaven, it's kept for you in heaven. It's more than that. It's the crown of righteousness. We are made right with God by believing and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ every single day. It's also the crown of glory for those who care for one another, care for the flock, who lead by example, caring, serving others. You know what? It's more than that. It's the crown of rejoicing that you will wear when you stand before Jesus on judgment day. With the joy and the reward of hearing Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, the only thing that you can ever take to heaven is the people that you win to Christ, the people that you bring to peace with Jesus. In Philippians 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. Stay true to the Lord. I love you. And I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. Paul, like Paul said, you're my crown, you and the people I brought to Christ. Amen? So keep running. I see, keep running. Keep praying for your neighbors to come to know Jesus. Keep running, setting the example so that your children will serve Jesus. Keep running for Lethbridge, for the region, and for the world to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? Holy Spirit is asking these questions. What are you running for? What are you living for? Are you overcoming the struggles so that you can live for what really counts, what matters the most in life? Are you doing that? And I hope that you and I can say what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, he said, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now, the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on his day, on the day of his return. And this prize is not just for me, but for all those who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Amen. Let's run as one. Let's run for what really matters the most. Amen. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Let's agree with me in prayer. Thank you, Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, I pray for us as a body. Pray for each one of us. Lord, help me. Help us to truly understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully created, that we are here on this planet for a purpose that's way bigger than just for me and myself. You and I, we are here to make a difference. And we're here to be a part of that so much bigger, so much bigger, stronger than myself. I'm a part of your church. The church that you said the gates of hell will not overcome. May we overcome every single struggle that comes into our path so that we finish the race that's marked out for us. May we run as one. May we run for the crown, the eternal prize, as you promised in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone agreed and said, amen. Keep your heads bowed just for another couple minutes. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a horrible death in your place so that you could be free, you could be clean, forgiven of all your sins, so that he could give you a new life. You can receive him right now. If you've never personally accepted this living Christ into your heart, surrendered your life, so that he give you the gift of eternal life, a purpose here on earth, and also a final destination in heaven. If you've never asked him, you've never received it, this is the day. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Someone here needs to receive Christ today. Repeat after me. This simple, powerful prayer. You don't have to do anything. Just believe and receive him. Are you ready? Say after me, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. And today, Lord, I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for a new life. And thank you for the gift of heaven. Thank you for Jesus. In your name we pray. In your name I pray. Amen.